chance, let's just welcome them and tell them how much we love them. Mike and Kay have been friends of this church since we started, and they've been coming here and sowing into the life of this church. So they're in the foundations. There's Mike and Kay in the foundations here, and they're good. They're great teachers. You know, you get people who can't teach, then you get people who are anointed to teach. They're anointed to teach, and they're prophets. They're prophetic. So you get this amazing flow of life coming out of them. So let's welcome Mike. He's starting and Kay's finishing. So welcome Mike up here.
Great to be here again, here in this fantastic city and in the fantastic, in the even the more fantastic presence of God here. Can I have a lot less volume on this and I'll talk plenty loud, okay? I was in a church one time and they made everything in a circle, and they had the worship stream. It was a nightmare for the technician, but they had the worship team all spread out throughout the whole room, and everybody was in this circle. And then when you were preaching, you stood in the very middle, and you had the whole thing. So I said, "This is ideal, because if I don't like the way these people look, I just turn over here." So, but you always had to preach like this, you know, and it was get dizzy after a while. So anyway, let's turn in our Bibles to Revelation chapter 14. Okay, Revelation chapter 14. I want to talk to you about army of worshipers. I believe that God is raising up in these days an army of worshipers throughout the whole earth. And here it says in Revelation chapter 14, "Then I looked, and there before me was the Lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000 who had his name and his father's name written on their foreheads. And I heard a sound from heaven like the roar of rushing waters and like the loud peals of thunder. The sound that I heard was like that of harpists playing their harps. And they sang a new song before the throne and before the four living creatures and the elders. And no one could learn the song except the 144,000 who had been redeemed from the earth. These are the ones who did not defile themselves with women, but they kept themselves pure. They follow the Lamb wherever he goes. They were purchased from among men and offered as first fruits to God and the Lamb, and no lie was found in their mouths. They are blameless." So here in the book of Revelation is about worship, and the book of Revelation is about warfare. And as you see in this book, there is a battle for the hearts and lives of men in the last days. There's never been really a battle between God and Satan. The battle has always been actually between God and man. There could never be a battle between Satan and man. There could never be a battle between Satan and God, because that would be like a battle with me and an ant. That would not be much of a battle. But there has always been a battle against mankind, because mankind is created in the image of God. And we were created to reign. We were not created to be God's doormat. We were not created to be slaves. We were created to be kings. We were created to rule with him. And so in the last days, this battle comes to a climax where God is strengthening his people, and God is with his people. And here we see the Lamb of God. In the book of Revelation, the Lamb of God is the star of the show. The book of Revelation is not about the Antichrist. The first clue is in the very first verse. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. And if we ever needed a revelation of Jesus Christ, It's in this hour that we're now in and moving further into. Because as we come closer to the end, as we come closer to the great day when Jesus is coming again, we need the revelation of Jesus Christ. And I'm so glad that the proverb says that the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn that gets brighter and brighter until the perfect day. We're not going into darkness. Isaiah said darkness will cover the whole world, but a light is shining upon us. So it's time for us to arise and shine, for our light has come and the glory of the Lord rises upon us. As long as we stay down in the depths, as long as we stay down in the dust, the glory of the Lord doesn't rise upon us. But as we rise up, as we take our stand, the glory of the Lord rises upon us, and the nations will see the light of that glory. This is a wonderful day that we live in. It's an opportunity for the kingdom of God to shine. So here we have on Mount Zion, the Lamb and 144,000. Now just first of all, the 144,000 are not the Jehovah's Witnesses. Okay? 144,000, I believe, stands for the completion of the people of God, the full number of the people of God. And they are in battle array. 12 times 12. 12 is the number for perfect government. You have 12 times 12, and you have 1,000, which is the number for the battalion, for the army. So here you have the full number of the people of God in full array. And they are with the Lamb on Mount Zion. Mount Zion is the place of passionate worship. Mount Zion is the place where David pitched his tent. The tent of David is not about a certain style of worship, but the tent of David is about passion of the heart. David was a man after God's own heart. I don't think if I would have heard the music in Zion in those days that I would have liked it. We were in an airport in Pakistan, and they were singing. They had the typical music there, and I have to say, it was getting on my nerves. I like all kinds of music, but that was just really getting to me. I don't think if I heard the music of Zion in those days that I would have necessarily liked the musical style. It's not about musical style. It's about the passion of the heart. I know I would have loved the passion of the heart when I would have seen the heart of David and the people that David affected with his passion. I would have loved that. I don't care what people are singing. I don't care what kind of music it is. If people have a passion in their heart, that's all that matters. When I got saved, I was a rock and roll musician. The Christian music in those days, that was 1971, it was boring. Every song sounded the same to me. But I loved it because there was a heart there. There were people in love with Jesus. And as they praised God, it didn't matter if they were, it didn't even matter if the guitar was out of tune, which it usually was. But what mattered was the passion of people's hearts. And that's what Mount Zion is all about. Mount Zion is the place where there was passionate worship, and it's also the place of governmental authority. Because it's in the place of passionate worship that God's people take their place as kings and priests and rule in these days. Not to be behind the stream, not to be under the foot, but on top of things, reigning with Jesus in Mount Zion, reigning with the Lamb. And it says here that John, as he was looking at this, he heard a sound from heaven like the roar of rushing waters and like the loud peal of thunder. And the sound that I heard, like rushing waters and loud peals of thunder. And then he says, the sound that I heard was harpists playing on their harps. Those are some serious harps. Those are like heavy metal harps. I am not really crazy about harp music, but this is some kind of harp music that sounds like rushing waters and loud peals of thunder. But harps are also these. This music was coming from heaven. And if we read in the book of Revelation in chapter 8, for instance, and in chapter 5, harp music is a type of the prophetic. The prophetic coming from heaven and filling the earth. And these people were singing a new song. I love that. They were singing the new song. And you read a lot in the Bible, and we're going to look at some of what the Bible says about the new song. But when you read in chapter 5, for instance, chapter 5 of Revelation, you can go ahead and turn there. In chapter 5, chapter 4 and 5 is very interesting if you compare it to the description of Mount Zion, which we have in Hebrews chapter 12. It's very similar. Because in Hebrews chapter 12, it talks about coming to Zion. We have come to Zion, to the city of the living God, to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly. We have come to the church of the firstborn, whose names are registered in heaven. I love that. Our names are registered in heaven because we have authority from the King to use the name of Jesus on this earth. We have come to God, the judge of all things. We have come to God, the judge of all the earth. And we have come to Jesus, the mediator of a better covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than the blood of Abel. And when you look in Revelation chapter 4 and 5, that's what you see there. You see the Almighty, eternal God, the Ancient of Days, seated on His throne, ruling from eternity to eternity. There has never been a time when God has not been on His throne. The earth never belonged to the devil. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. And God has been reigning from eternity to eternity. He sits on a throne which cannot be shaken. God's kingdom is forever and ever. God's kingdom is not just in the future. God's kingdom is not just in the past. God's kingdom is right now. God has never experienced a moment when His kingdom has not been in full power. Our praise and worship doesn't encourage God. He doesn't get the victory when we sing about it. We don't sing "The Lord Reigns" and He says, "Thanks a lot. I really needed that. I was really kind of discouraged today, but thanks, my people. That was really wonderful." I believe God loves our praise. I believe God accepts our praise. I believe He humbles Himself to even need our praise, not because He needs a massage on His ego, but because He has opened Himself up to be vulnerable and receive our love.
Amen.
And I believe He enjoys our presence, and I believe He enjoys our gifts and our offerings to Him. But God has been the King from eternity, and He will be the King to all eternity. And He is the King right now, seated upon His throne. That's why when John looked into heaven, he saw behind the scenes, he saw God, the judge of all the earth, of all the universe, seated upon His throne, reigning and ruling forever. But he also saw the Lamb of God who shed His blood. And it's so beautiful, this story, how Jesus, the Lamb of God, goes up to the throne of the Ancient of Days and receives from Him the right to rule. He receives the book and opens its seals. He receives the right to rule that God gave to man. He receives it on our behalf. He didn't receive it on His behalf. He never needed to receive it on His behalf.
He has always been the king. He has always been the rightful ruler. But when he shed his blood and was raised from the dead, he went to the throne of God and he received on behalf of mankind that would be redeemed. He received on behalf of those who were purchased by the blood the right to rule. And he gives this right to us. And it says here in Revelation chapter 5, verse 9. Are you still there? Okay. And they sang a new song. What are they singing? A new song. And listen to the words of this new song. You are worthy to take the scroll and open its seals because you were slain. And with your blood you purchased men for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them to be a king. You have made them to be kings and priests to serve our God. And they will reign forever on the earth. The new song is, of course, about Jesus. The new song is about the Lamb of God. The new song is about the victory that he won through the shedding of his blood. The new song is about us because the new song says that we were redeemed for God from among men. We were redeemed, and by his blood he has bought us, and by his blood he has made us to be kings and priests so that we rule on this earth. He won the victory, but we rule through his victory on this earth. He didn't win the victory so that he would just rule alone. He won the victory for our sakes so that we would reign through the one Jesus Christ. Amen. I love the verse in Romans 5 that says that they that receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. God has called us to reign. And as we are singing the new song, as we are proclaiming through song, as we are declaring through the wonderful gifts that God has given us, the gift of music, to be able to sing this out, to be able to proclaim what the blood of Jesus has accomplished, to be able to proclaim that Jesus Christ, the slain Lamb of God, is risen and he is exalted. He is seated at the right hand of God. The new song is breaking forth throughout the whole earth. And they that were on Mount Zion, that's what they were singing. They were singing the new song. And I believe that this song is going to get louder and louder. It's going to sound like the sound of rushing waters. It's going to sound like the loud peals of thunder. People that like it soft and easy, brace yourself. Because it's going to get louder and louder. And it's not just loud in the sense of turning the music up. But the people of God are getting louder and louder because the most used instrument or the instrument that is most spoken of in the Bible is the voice. We had a conference one time in the Bible school where we were in Germany. And there were about 600 people at this conference. And we had, the music was going and we kept turning the sound of the instruments louder and louder because we couldn't hear ourselves anymore. And we had it at the top. I mean, it was just continually in the red. And it was all the way up. All the volumes were all the way up on all the instruments. And finally, the pianist said to me, I can't hear myself anymore. And so we just signaled to the technician in the back, cut out the instruments. Just knock out the stage. We don't need any instruments on the stage anymore. And he turned off the music, and nobody noticed it. And they just kept singing. That was amazing. That was amazing. Because they were not paying attention to how beautiful we were playing music. They were paying attention how beautiful God is. And they got louder and louder. I believe the song of the Lamb is going to get louder and louder. And it's getting louder because it's coming from all the corners of the earth. Just turn with me to Isaiah, or Isaiah if you like. Either one will do. Isaiah chapter 42. Verse 10, sing to the Lord. How many of you are there? Isaiah 42. Sing to the Lord what? A new song. Sing to the Lord a new song. His praise from the ends of the earth. Woo! His praise from the ends of the earth. We are living in a time when there is more praise and worship and prayer going on the earth than ever in the history of mankind. We are living in the time when the prophecy of Malachi is being fulfilled from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. The name of the Lord shall be great among all the nations. From the ends of the earth, this sound is getting louder and louder. The sound of the new song. From the rising of the sun, from the furthest point of the east to the furthest point of the west. And when you get to the furthest point of the west, you're at the east again. So that, just like in heaven, 24 hours a day, worship rising up all across the earth. From one end of the earth to the other, continually, just like in heaven, night and day, without ceasing, they never cease to say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." They never cease to say, "The whole earth is filled with His glory." That song is getting louder and louder as time goes by. God is raising up this army of worshipers. Mount Zion is not in one place. Mount Zion is in the Spirit. Mount Zion is not heaven where you go when you die. Mount Zion is heaven breaking through here on the earth. And from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the name of the Lord is great among the nations. 24 hours of worship all over the earth. And not only that, but in every country of the earth, houses of worship, houses of prayer are coming alive. And people have goals of... Some people already have this, but others have goals of 24-hour worship in their place. They start somewhere. They start with a burn and then burn on. Don't burn out, burn on. Amen. The fire on the altar doesn't go out. And all over the earth, this new song is arising. Sing to the Lord a new song. His praise from the ends of the earth. You who go down to the sea and all that is in it. You islands and all who live in them. Let the desert and its towns raise their voices. Let the settlements where Kedar lives rejoice. Let the people of Selah sing for joy. Let them shout from the mountaintops. Let them give glory to the Lord and proclaim His praise in the islands. Now, what is the result of that? Well, let's look first at one result in verse 14. God says, "For a long time I have kept silent. I have been quiet and held myself back. But now, like a woman in childbirth, I cry out, I gasp and pant." I believe that the new song gives birth to new things. Amen. I believe as we are praising God, as we are singing the content of this new song, we are giving birth to something new. We're bringing forth a new move of God. We're bringing forth a new working of the Holy Spirit. God is pouring out His Spirit from heaven. He's pouring out His power on the earth. And we are accompanying that. God is not doing that on His own. He's doing that through His people. We are His people, redeemed by His own blood. And He didn't redeem us so that we could just watch Him and say, wow, that's great. He redeemed us because He brings us back to His original purpose, and that is partnership with us. Yes. He's called us to partner with Him. And so He works through His people. He can do everything better without us. But God doesn't do what He can. He does what He wants. He doesn't just do something just because He's able to do it. He does everything according to the counsel of His own purpose. And He has, in His sovereignty, He has purposed to work through us. Amen. In His sovereignty, He has limited Himself. Of course, He's not limited in His nature. But in His sovereignty, He has chosen to limit Himself for the sake of relationship, for the sake of fellowship, for the sake of partnership. He has limited Himself. He has humbled Himself to work through us. So He's not going to do it on His own. But He is going to do it through His people. As we are rising up, singing, declaring, proclaiming what the new song says. God is bringing to birth new things. Look at verse 9. See the former things have taken place and new things I declare. Before they spring into being, I announce them to you. God announces the new things that He wants to do. And we turn that into a song. And we begin to sing the new things that God is doing. God is rising up like a mighty warrior. The sun is arising for a new day. David says, before the sun shines, I get up. And I greet the new day. I take my harp. I take my lyre. And I greet the new day. I stand up before the red of the morning. As I'm praising God, I am ushering in the new day. It's time for a new day. It's time for something new. It's time for a new generation to arise. And I'm not just talking about an age group. I'm talking about an entire generation of people, young, old, and everything in between. God wants to use the young and the old. Or the young and the old. And everything in between. One generation standing together, worshiping God. When God wanted to deliver Israel out of Egypt, Pharaoh said, just take the men. And Moses said, no. Everyone has to go. The entire generation standing together. There's nothing more powerful than generations standing together, worshiping God, bringing Him the sacrifice. Amen. Nothing is more powerful than the unified sacrifice. And God is raising up in this hour the unified sacrifice. He's raising up an entire generation. He's declaring what He wants to do. And we're singing it out in the new song. And we're bringing to birth those new things that God has declared. But look at this.
Look in verse 13. The Lord will march out like a mighty man, like a warrior. He will stir up his zeal. With a shout, he will raise the battle cry and will triumph over his enemies. This is God doing this through us. David had a revelation of this when he said, the Lord of the breakthroughs, because he broke through my hand. He didn't just break through on his own. He broke through my hand. Did he need my hand? No. Did he, in his sovereignty, limit himself to work through my hand? Yes. That's his will. That's his counsel. That's his purpose. And his purpose will stand. God will always do according to his purpose. And his purpose is to work through us. So as we are singing the new song, God is rising up like a mighty warrior. We are like those in Psalm 68 who say, let God arise and let his enemies be scattered. We take the ark upon our shoulders and we say, let God arise, let his enemies be scattered. Let those that hate him flee before him like wax melts before the fire. Those that hate him will melt before his holy presence. His presence is awesome. His presence is glorious. But let the righteous rejoice. Let the righteous be glad. Let them dance before him. Let them shout before him. Let them raise their hands and give him glory. And as they are doing that, God is rising up like a mighty warrior, triumphing over his enemies. I love that where Isaiah says that every sound of the tambourine is the arm of the Lord crashing down upon his enemy. Every time the foot goes up and down in dancing, it's like dancing on the heads of your enemies. I love this kind of warfare. I call this white collar warfare, because all we're doing, we're not fighting the devil, we're praising God. And the devil is so confused, the devil is so mixed up. The devil is so mixed up, he doesn't know what to do. I love this kind because I'm not thinking about the devil, though. I'm thinking about how great God is. I'm thinking about how glorious he is. I'm thinking about how beautiful he is. I'm focused in on God and how wonderful he is. And as I'm singing the praises of God, God is working on my behalf. God is working on our behalf. God is working on this city's behalf. He's drawing people. There are millions of people in this city who need Jesus Christ. And there may be one or two here tonight who've wandered in and you need Jesus Christ. This is a great day, because before the night is over, you are going to be born again. You say, what in the world does that mean, being born again? Well, just hold on, because you're going to find out. There are thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people that need the gospel of Jesus Christ in this region alone. And as we are praising God, worshiping him, standing in the place of kings and priests, we are also being equipped and equipping others to go out with the message of Jesus Christ. We are melting the hearts of people. We are shooting the arrows of the king into the hearts of the king's enemies. We are turning rebels into worshipers. This is what's happening while we're singing the new song. God is arising and his enemies are scattered. I want you to just look in Psalm 149. I think this is going to be my last verse. All right. Psalm 149. Sing to the Lord, what? A new song.
his praise in the assembly of the saints. Let Israel rejoice in their Maker. Let the people of Zion be glad in their King. Let them praise his name with dancing and make music to him with tambourine and harp. For the Lord takes delight in his people. I love that. The Lord takes delight in his people. He's not mad at his people. He's not angry with his people. He takes delight in his people. That's why singing songs about the love of God is so powerful. Singing songs about the unfailing love of God. That love that never gives up, never runs out on me, is so powerful because we are declaring the Lord delights in his people. That's exactly what Joshua and Caleb came back testifying when 10 other elders were saying, we can't do it. There's no way. They are like giants. We are like grasshoppers in our sight, and we are like grasshoppers in their sight. And Caleb and Joshua said, if the Lord delights in us, yes, they're giants in the land. But if the Lord delights in us, we can take the land. And I want to say tonight, the Lord delights in his people. He delights in his people. He rejoices over us with singing. The Lord God in our midst is a mighty warrior. And he rejoices over us. The Lord takes delight in his people. He crowns the humble with salvation. Let the saints rejoice in this honor and sing for joy on their beds. It doesn't stop when you leave church tonight. You keep on praising him because it's not just a song. There's a life there, a life that is praising God, praising God. We all go through dark times. We all have valleys. We all have our challenges. We all have our battles. But the one good thing is that God never changes. The other good thing is that we're always changing. God crowns the humble with salvation. Let the saints rejoice in this honor, sing for joy on their beds. May the high praises of God be in their mouths and a double-edged sword in their hands to inflict vengeance on the nations and punishment on the peoples, to bind their kings with fetters, their nobles with shackles of iron, to carry out the sentence written against them. This is the glory of all his saints. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now, when it's talking about this, the nations and the peoples, it's not talking about doing this to people. It's not talking about doing this to flesh and blood, because our battle is not against human beings. That's right. Our battle is against invisible forces. And we take authority over those forces that are controlling and enslaving people. And we set the captives free. We enforce the victory that Jesus won. We don't have to get the victory. We have to enforce that victory. We have to push that victory into the enemy's face by praising God with the new song, singing before him, shouting his praises, clapping our hands, and shouting unto God with the voice of triumph. As we're doing this, we are executing judgment upon the invisible forces of darkness, releasing people from the prison. The enemy is everyone's enemy. He's not just the enemy of Christians. He's the enemy of every human being. And as we are worshiping God, filling the airwaves with his name and with his glory, something powerful happens. The high praises of God. High praises of God. These are the praises of God that we lift higher and higher. This is not your normal praise, but this is praise on the highest level. And as this happens, it's a two-edged sword in our hand. I believe God does want to give really a breakthrough through our hand and through our mouths this evening. But I'm going to let Kay come, I think, now. Are we going to be able to do that? All right. I'm handing the baton off.
Can the keyboard player play while I'm speaking? Okay. Let's see. I brought some pictures with me, and we're going to see if we can get them on. And they kind of, I've been collecting these pictures for a long time, and they kind of show through the pictures. They say a picture is worth 1,000 words. And I think Mike spoke 1,000 words tonight. And let's see if we get it. If not, okay, we may not. Oh, looks like I got the sign from Anne that it's going to come. But what Mike said, that God is really working all over the earth, raising up his bride. And his bride is also a warrior. Because as we proclaim who God is, just as Mike was saying, and our worship goes up through the heavens, the enemy gets confused. When the army of Jehoshaphat went out, they started praising God, and the enemies destroyed themselves. And so God is really releasing his power on the earth. Oh, there's the picture. Okay. Can you see it, or am I in the way? Okay. Okay. Oops. It's gone. Okay. This is a picture. I love this picture. How God has clothed us with his righteousness. We read that through the blood of Jesus, he's made us kings and priests. And so his bride is also putting on her boots. As we march through this earth, it's like a marching army. Mike said it's an army of worshipers. And so God is clothing us in his glory, in his righteousness. And we're putting on the boots. Okay, you can do the next picture if we can get. Okay. And you see the sword in her hand. And he read, with the high praises of God and a two-edged sword, with worship and the promises of God. The Bible says the word of God is like a sharp sword, and that we can use it, send it, speak it, and it's working in the heavenlies over this city. God is raising up, as Mike said, all over the world. We're in Germany, and they're praising God in Germany. But the church is arising. I like this picture because she's moving upward. She's going up, up, up the mountain. And that's where we are marching forward in this hour. And we're going to go through the gates. Okay, the next picture. I like this one. Also, the sword and the tambourine, the song and the word, the worship and the word, worship and the word. It's an unbeatable combination. Worship and prayer. Okay, the next one. And as we do that, the Lion of Judah, the overcomer, Jesus has prevailed. He lives in us. He releases his strength. He releases his fire. He releases his victory. And this is what, who lives in you. Sometimes we look at ourselves and we think, oh, but the Bible doesn't say be strong in yourself. It says be strong in the Lord. Let's say that together. Be strong. strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And in the power, let's say that together. And in the power of His might. Let's say it again, because sometimes we feel weak, or most of the time we feel weak. And we think everything else is like a big mountain. And we feel like a worm. You know what the Bible says? It says that God takes a worm and smashes the mountains. Because He has His power within us. It says we have His power in a vessel of clay. But the power of God is in us. You don't look like you believe it. But He lives within. Let's say one more time. I'm strong in the Lord, not in myself, but in Christ. Okay? I am strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Again, I am strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Again, I am strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Amen. Okay. And as we exercise our faith in Him, connecting with the head of the church, who's at God's right, we're the body connected. We are actually above the darkness of this age. And as we believe that, we mount up. We mount up with wings of an eagle. That's God's picture of you. Above the darkness, above the oppression, above the fear, above the devil. Jesus is above the devil, and we're connected with Jesus. That's why when we worship and take the position God gave us as kings and priests from heaven, we release His glory on the earth. God wants to open our eyes, mounting up like an eagle. Praise God. I am an eagle. To tell you the truth, I'm flying high. I have to stay high. I'm not coming down into the confusion, into the oppression, into the depression. Okay. And I love that picture. Looks pretty cool. And for me, the wings of the eagle are one wing is faith and the other wing is worship. Or the word, the sword, and worship. They are an unbeatable strength that lift us up. And I heard over 40 years ago, and I've been believing it, trying to practice it, 40 years, but the greatest weapon in the end times is the weapon of worship and praise, because it lifts us up above the enemy. Okay, the next one. And as we are lifted up, we become prophetic. That means we begin to see this generation, these nations, from God's viewpoint. We begin to see what God can do, because God is greater than everything around us. And that's a picture of Deborah. How many of you know the story of Deborah? Well, not that many. Okay, or else you didn't raise your hand. Do you know the story of Deborah? Okay. Deborah was a prophetess, and Deborah lived in a time, she was a judge, a prophetess, and she lived in a time when her people were totally oppressed by 900 chariots. There was violence in the land. It wasn't safe for children. It wasn't safe for the people to even walk on the roads. Everyone was in fear. Everyone was in their homes. And Deborah had a prophetic word. She called the leader of the army, Barak. I love the story, because it's not just old and young, the whole generation. It's also men and women together. Praise God. That's important, because God made man, male, and female, and blessed them. And they together really also have this anointing to go forth. She called the leader of the army, She was a mother in Israel. She called the warriors, the men, and together God said, this is the time, go forward. And he won a great victory. And the next picture, and I love this one. And this is going to be the result of the worship and the prayers. It said, the next generation had peace for 40 years. And God wants to release all kinds of children, young, old, everyone, out of darkness, bringing them into the light. And this is what we're going to witness in the nation. Who wants to rise up in this hour as a worshiper and a warrior to see God save and bring in the harvest of all these beautiful children? Who, we don't want to see the next generation destroyed. We want a world that we can bring children into. And this is what we're worshiping, believing, standing before God. Okay, the next one. And that's a picture. God is with us always in an eternal covenant of love. As we go forth, as we worship, as we live, God has committed himself just like a wedding ring. It's a covenant. God's love, as we sang tonight, never, ever, ever, never, ever, ever ends. It goes on and on as we're going. It's moving. It's keeping us. He's committed. He's committed to the end to bring his people through, to be all that God ever made you to be. He is rooting for you. He is behind you. As we go, God will come forth. We can never break the covenant love of God. I love that. God has an unending covenant. Hallelujah. The next picture, and this is supposed to be a picture of the verse where the Apostle Paul said, I fought a good fight. I ran the race. I kept the faith. And he laid down his sword. He was at the end of his life. And he said, the crown of righteousness awaits me. God is raising up people who will fight. Hey, we are in a battle. A lot of people say, I don't want to fight. Well, you don't have to fight the devil, but you have to fight the fight of faith. And keep standing. Keep believing. Never give up. Okay, and the next picture. And God's, that was a dance group in Germany. And I love that picture. Because every single one of the girls has a different wedding dress on. And to me that says we're one body in Christ. We're one bride. We're one church. We're one people of God. Yet each one of us is special. Each one of us is being molded, formed. Each one of us has something from God. Each one of us has gifts. Each one of us has a voice. Each one of us is being formed. God is forming you to be who he wants you to be, making each one and then uniting us. Oh, I love that. That's what God, I love to understand what God is doing on the earth. But he's bringing forth his bride. The Holy Spirit is working in each of our lives. He's shaping. He's saying, get rid of that. Keep that. Add that. Let go of that. And we're yielding to the Holy Spirit. And he's bringing his salvation in each of our lives and bringing each of us into the fullness. And that's the question tonight. Do you want to move in your life into the fullness of all God has? Do we want to, as a body here in London, in this place, in this Kingdom Faith London, become the center, the worshipers? Do we want to really let God lift this place to go forth and open the heavens over this great city? So, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of God is arising on His people. Hallelujah. And this is the great last picture. And someday, soon, the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ. And the Lion and the Lamb, the King and the sacrifice that Jesus has shed, the kingdom of righteousness will be set up on the whole earth. Jesus Christ will come and reign on the earth in Jerusalem as His capital city, just like the Bible says. Just like God says, it will all come to pass. Let's stand up. Just want to encourage you. You are on the winning side. God's already showed us the end. And we can really just reach out your hands tonight. I really believe God wants to release His encouragement. Maybe the worship team can come up. As we close, God wants to encourage you tonight. That's how He sees you. That's how He calls your name. He calls you His bride. He calls you His chosen. He calls you His anointed. He calls you His battle axe. He calls you His worshipers. Oh, He calls you strong. He calls you beautiful. He calls you mighty. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, receive that love in your heart. Receive that covenant. Receive that strength. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, lift your head. Shout to God. Shout to God. Shout His victory. Let every oppression, let every darkness, let every mountain, let every fear, let every lack, oh, be removed. Jesus, we worship You, Lord. Jesus, we connect with You, Lord. Jesus, we stand in You, Lord. Jesus, we have Your anointing, Your power, Your power, Your victory is mine. Oh, Lord, Your light is with you. Your God strengthens you. Oh, hallelujah.